prompted this lesson, I was thinking about my little garden of the day and how some of the plants are still bearing fruit on into the fall of the year, still gathering some peppers and some okra and one or two little tomatoes on over into the fall of the year, and the expectation that some of them will continue to produce until frost. And so it prompted me to work on this particular lesson based on Psalms chapter 92, verse 12 through 15. There, the scripture says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. The goal of most people, at least in this country, seems to be that they want a happy retirement. People plan, they save for years to have free time, do things that are of particular interest to them. The question arises, is retirement applicable to those who are part of the kingdom of God? I'm not suggesting that in any stretch of the imagination that it's wrong to retire from secular work. And sometimes physical infirmities hinder work. But can we retire from the Lord's work? This passage, Psalm 92, 12 through 15, describes righteous people as palm trees and cedar trees flourishing in the house and courts of God. This to me suggests a place of service for those who are older in the work of God, able to bear fruit and remain fresh and flourishing. Dot and I were discussing this, and I asked her to count these up. So if I'm wrong in my numbers, we won't blame her, but she's the one helped me come up with these numbers. 5 members in their 80s, 9 members in their 70s, and I won't go any further than that. I don't know how many we have in their 60s, how many in the 50s, but about half of the members of the church here are over 70 years of age. I don't know whether that's unique to other congregations or not, but it is a fact that we as a body of Christ have to deal with. It's rather apparent that God can and does use those who are older in his work and has so in times gone by. So I want you to think with me for a few minutes about bearing fruit in old age. And suggest to you that God did in fact use older people in Old Testament times as well as New Testament times. You remember Moses and Aaron leading the Israelites out of bondage at the age of 80 and 83. Exodus chapter 7 and verse 7. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spake unto Pharaoh. So when God sent Moses and Aaron down to Pharaoh, they were 80 and 83 respectively. Now I understand that people lived quite a bit longer at this particular period of time. Moses lived to be 120 years of age. Charlie and I were discussing before services, Brother Sam Binkley, he's not doing well now. He had his 100th birthday back in September. And I understand, if I understand correctly, he baptized either a grandchild or a great-grandchild just recently. So he's still working for the Lord at the age of about 100. And that is remarkable. I hope I'm still able to get up and get around by that age. But he's been active in the Lord's work for many years. We've had a lady out in Colorado Springs. North of Colorado and north of Denver. I can't think of the name of the town right now. But met a lady that had known Dottie's mother back when Dottie was just a little girl. And she was 103 and still at services. Still, mind was still sharp. And, of course, here in our own area, just Leland Art, she's not doing well, not She doesn't know who people are and that sort of thing, but she was still active on up to, she was close to 100. So it's not unheard of for people to still be active in the Lord's work, even past the ages of 80. They were already past the normal lifespan, as noted in Psalm 90 and verse 10. David said, the days of our years are 70. Well, that's 70. Score is 20, and 60. So 70 would be 70. And if by reason of strength, they'd be 80. It is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Someone suggested that this age of Moses and Aaron would be somewhere in the equivalency of 55 to 60 years of age today. You remember Joshua and Caleb. Joshua was charged with the conquest of Canaan during the last 30 years of his 110 years. Joshua 24 and verse 29. It came to pass after these things, Joshua the son of Nun, served the Lord, died being 110 years old. But it was during the last 30 years of his life. So he would have been then around the age of 80. And then Caleb, in Joshua 14, verse 10 through 12, he said, now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. That's 85. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was on the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. But I heard in that day how that the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. 85 years of age, give me this mountain. The giants are there, but the Lord's with me, I'll drive them out. He had planned for this for around 40 years while they were taking the land of Canaan. And you remember Daniel served God from his youth, served for over 70 years. Daniel chapter 1, verse 21, Daniel continued even to the first year of King Cyrus. He was well over 80 when he was one of three governors over the kingdom of Babylon. According to Daniel chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, it pleased Darius, set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three princes, of whom Daniel was first, and the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presence of princes, because the nature of the spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. At this time in Daniel's life, he was somewhere in the neighborhood of 80 years of age. Daniel chapter 6, you remember, Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. He prospered in the reign of Darius and Cyrus, Daniel chapter 6 and verse 28. He received a series of visions over Daniel chapter 8 through chapter 12. God used Daniel on into the twilight years of his life. In the New Testament, there's Zechariah and Elizabeth, parents of John the Baptist, both well advanced in years, Luke chapter 1 verse 7. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. Yet Zechariah was serving in the temple, and Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist. Now, normally, the one who served in the temple, the priest, only served until about age 50, if I remember my Old Testament history correctly. But that didn't mean that they quit serving at all. They didn't serve in the office of a high priest. But now Zechariah is still serving in the temple. And his wife Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist. And they were well advanced in years. And you remember Paul refers to himself as Paul the aged in Philemon verse 9. Yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such and one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. At this time, he was busy writing the letters of Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon. Even while in prison, traveling, visiting, encouraging churches, when he was released from prison. You remember and converted the jailer while he was in jail. There are many others that God used, as we would say, in their golden years. And these illustrate to us how the elderly can still bear fruit in old age. And this is just a little bit of a sampling of those whom God has used in time past. But understand that God still uses older people in the work that He requires of us even today, those who are in part of the Lord's church. Obviously, there's always a need for elders. Every congregation needs to have elders. You remember in Acts chapter 14, verse 23, when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed for fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And Titus chapter 1, there are qualifications listed for those who would serve as overseers of the Lord's church. They are referred to as elders. They're referred to as overseers. They're referred to as bishops. Paul said, the one who desires the office of a bishop desires a good work. And so this is a work that individuals can engage in who have reached maybe the golden years of their life. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul said, this is a true saying, if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Then he goes on to list the qualifications, just as he does over in Titus chapter 1, verse 5 through 9. These are older men who are capable of teaching and leading the flock. Peter refers to them in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, as being examples to the flock. They are men who have been successful in rearing their children, who have developed a good reputation. As Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Then he tells them their responsibility, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Overseers, men who have reached a point in their life that they have the wisdom that is necessary to lead and to guide the flock. But it seems that many want to retire from service in the Lord's church just about the time they retire from secular work. And that is about the same time that when they can be of a great deal more use in the Lord's work. If one is unqualified to serve as an overseer, then if possible, they need to grow and to develop the necessary qualities and qualifications so that they can serve. Understand that at some point in time, men reach the point where they could serve as overseers, it may very well be that through circumstances beyond their control, they can't meet all the qualifications that are listed in Scripture. But something we need to be urging the younger men to strive to meet those qualifications and to desire the work or the office of a bishop. Not only do we need older men to serve in the various works, but we need the older women to carry out the responsibilities that are given to them. In Titus chapter 2, there verse 3 said, the aged women likewise, he's already talked about the aged men, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior, as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Aged women are to be teachers, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. The sad part about it is that many times, about the time women reach the point where they are able to teach those that they are responsible for teaching, they stop teaching. Now, I've heard women say, you know, I've put in my time. I've done my time. Well, I don't know what they mean by that. I guess I do know, but I still don't understand. When do we get the right to quit? I hear people ask me on a regular basis, when are you going to retire? Well, I don't know. I hope I know when I need to step down out of the pulpit. I've known some preachers that I don't think did know when they needed to step down, when they had to be helped up into the pulpit and helped out of the pulpit. And sometimes their ramblings and lessons were not really edifying. And so there comes a time when the mental capabilities fail, and it's not far off, I don't guess, but hopefully a few more years. But if you're not qualified to teach the younger women, if you haven't had any thought regarding that responsibility, then you need to think about it. You need to prepare yourself. Commit yourself to a study of Scripture so that you'll be able to teach. Learn God's Word so you can teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children. You see, our society thinks that these qualities just sort of come natural. Well, the love that the Scripture talks about, that a wife is to have for a husband, is not necessarily something that just comes natural. That kind of love is not something you fall into and fall out of. It's a love that's taught. It's a love that is a result of a command to love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste. And that's not spelled C-H-A-S-E-D. That's spelled C-H-A-S-T-E. It means pure, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband. And why is that? Why is it to be taught that? That the word of God be not blasphemed. God's word not be spoken against. We need older women who are prepared to teach younger women these qualities. And obviously every one of us need to be teachers. As Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, serve the Lord, must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Now, I think it's significant that this phrase here that Paul uses in reference to servants of the Lord is the same phrase he used in regard to the qualification of overseers. They're required to be able to teach. And so it is of all those who are members of the body of Christ. As the Hebrew writer rebuked those in the churches of the Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, beginning, you remember in the book of Hebrews, he talked about the manner that God had taught in time past, and hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And so he's talking to people who are Christians. He's not talking just to older people or just to younger people. But notice what he said in Hebrews 5 and verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need to want to teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracle of God, and it becomes such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Sad to say, that is the case in many churches all over this country. People have not grown and prepared themselves in the manner in which they are. They still need someone to teach them. And as he writes, are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. Now, that babe could be 80 years old if they hadn't studied and prepared himself to be able to teach those whom he or she needs to be teaching. He's a babe. Well, babies need what? Strong meat, he said, belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The baby has to have milk, not strong meat. Strong meat belongs to those who have, by reason of use, have exercised their senses to discern between good and evil. It takes a great deal of work and effort to be able to be a teacher. Every one of us needs to be a teacher. God still uses older people in his work today, but he also uses younger people. There are many services, however, that the elderly can provide. There's a matter of hospitality and benevolence. Some who are older in years are financially able to do what younger people cannot do. Paul in Romans chapter 12 talks about distributed the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. That's something that we need to be aware of. Hospitality. There are people who need help. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 9, he said, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Being hospitable, that means showing care and concern for those who may be less fortunate. It's not just talking about inviting people over to your home for a meal and then expecting them to invite you back to their house for a meal to reciprocate. There's nothing wrong with inviting someone in your home. We need to be doing more of that. Or just inviting them out to a meal at a restaurant or whatever the case may be, but spending time with each other. But you get to know people a whole lot better in their homes than you do in a restaurant. That's a fact. I've observed it over the years. You can get to know people much, much better by visiting with them in their home or them visiting with you in your home than you can out in a noisy restaurant somewhere. We need to show hospitality. There's a work of edification and evangelism. Sometimes older people have more time available to them to study with other people. You remember what our Lord told his apostles in Matthew 28? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. You teach them, you baptize them, but you don't do like Brother Don Dale used to say many years ago. He said, too many times we baptize people and we leave their feet dangling over in the baptistry. We don't continue the work of teaching. So many times we expect new converts to just somehow magically become knowledgeable in Scripture. Yes, people have a personal responsibility to search the Scriptures. That's what Jesus said, search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and there they which testify of me. Those people in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scripture daily to see if the things taught were so. So yes, everybody has a responsibility to study and learn for themselves. But there's also that responsibility of teaching others. And so we need to look for opportunities to teach. As we talked about in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. Now, just prior to verse 16, Paul had detailed the work of local church there in verse 12. Evangelism, ministry, edification involved in that work. And then in verse 16, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. And every part is from the youngest to the oldest that are part of the body. Make it the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Every member of the body of Christ has a responsibility in this matter of edification and evangelism. Teaching others the gospel of Christ and edifying, that is building up, strengthening each of us as members of the body of Christ. These are services that many elderly folks can perform because this may be a time when they have more free time than they had before they reached that point in their life. Obviously, we need to spend more time in prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 5. Paul said, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate, trusteth in God and continueth in supplication and prayers night and day. And Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 said, pray without ceasing. We need to spend a great deal of time in prayer. And that's something everybody can do. From the youngest member to the oldest member. We can pray for each other. We can pray for the work. We can pray for opportunities to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every person, or at least most every person at least, can send cards or make phone calls. We live in a society today where we have our phones with us almost 24/7. If we're asleep, they're laying on the bedside table. We have them on us, or ladies have them in their purses, whatever, all the time. And we have the ability on those phones to have the phone numbers of every member of the congregation where we worship, that we can call, we can talk with them, we can encourage them, and we can send cards to those who are maybe sick or unable to be out for various different reasons. Just something to say, I'm thinking about you. There's many things that we can do and many things that the elderly folks can do in the work of a local congregation. What we're suggesting to you is that the older people can, and notice the text in Book of Psalms, chapter 92, says, they shall bring forth fruit, there in verse 14. They shall. He didn't say they might. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. So, whatever our age, if we're advanced in age, and I've made past the 80, headed toward the 80, sometimes a whole lot more rapidly than I would like, but we're all a day older every day. We're not going to get younger. We're just going to get older if we live. And so we need to be an example. We need to show that the Lord is upright. Notice what the text says there. To show that the Lord is upright. How is that? They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show. How do we show that the Lord is upright? By being an example. By the kind of life that we live. If we don't teach the next generation, they're not going to be taught. Psalm chapter 71 and verse 17. The text says, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. David talks about when he was younger, in his youth. Hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works, young people and older people, as David pointed out. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength in this generation. That's a work that is ours, to show God's strength to this generation, to show his power to everyone that is to come. There's a passage over a little earlier in the book of Psalms, than chapter, or a little later in chapter 78, beginning at verse 1. Listen to what David said there. Psalm 78, beginning at verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. And you can read about that in Deuteronomy chapter 6. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their hearts aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. David recognized that there were some older people, some in the past generation, that did not do what they should do. They did not teach future generations. And it seems to me that we are experiencing that very phenomenon in the Lord's church today. Now, I realize that there are a lot of extenuating circumstances that resulted in there not being a house full of young people here in Red Bay. And we can go through various families and we can see reasons why they are no longer here. And some of them are justifiable reasons why they're not here. But it was seen that somewhere along the line, we have failed to instill in a younger generation their responsibilities to God. We've got to get back to the work of teaching, training others so that the work can continue. Obviously, those who are in their 80s, and even those who are in their 70s are not going to be here very much longer. We were all shocked this past week with the death of Lon Plyler's wife, Larson's mother, 51 years of age. She's babysitting her granddaughter and just fell dead. They don't really know if it was an aneurysm or if it was a massive heart attack, but she's talking to her son. While she's talking to him on the phone, she dies, 51 years of age. We would think that at that point in life, we would have a lot more years left to fulfill our responsibilities, but we're not guaranteed tomorrow. James says, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. We don't know how long we're going to have here. So we have work to do. Even though we may be older in years, we still have work to do. Those planted, verse 13 of Psalm 92 says, shall flourish. That means every member must be of service to the Lord. Then as we read in verse 14, notice the word still. They shall still bear fruit. That word indicates that they have already been bearing fruit. Now they're continuing to bear fruit even in their advanced age. Many retire from secular work, but we can't retire from our service to the Lord. Yes, I understand that physical infirmities may limit what we can do, but only death can stop us from doing what we can. Jesus made a statement about a woman. She has done what she could. Every one of us can do something. Are we doing what we can do? The question is the problem really physical infirmities or is it simply spiritual laziness? And I'll be the first to admit, I'll raise my hand. And sometimes I stop and think the things that you could be doing besides sitting back in your recliner. There's work that needs to be done. And I'm free to admit there are times when I don't do some things that I think probably I should be doing. Yes, I know that you get a little older, you get tired quicker, you want to sit down and rest. I understand that. But there's still work that needs to be done. We can't stop the aging process at all, but we can be renewed inwardly daily, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We can't keep from having birthdays unless we die. They're going to come around every year unless we leave this earth or the Lord returns. Problem may be related to our youth-oriented culture. Wisdom and experience of the elderly is not respected in the society we live in today. Many times society is too quick to put the elderly out to pasture and to think that they've lost touch. They're not able to continue to do the work that needs to be done. There are other cultures around the world that do reflect the scriptural norm because the elderly are revered. Wisdom and experience are appreciated. The elderly continue in roles of influence and leadership, sometimes even till they die. We as God's people, those who are righteous, can and should still bear fruit in old age. Now, this is not necessarily a rebuke for people in the congregation here. I know there are people who are working. Brother David just left going to a Bible class, studying with some denominational people. We have others in this congregation who are very active in trying to encourage others to engage in Bible studies. We have an active program of work here that we are supporting in the proclamation of the gospel of Christ. But what we need to do is all of us need to re-examine our own usefulness to the Lord and His church. Encourage each other to examine ourselves and see. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourself, will you be in the faith? That means put yourself to the test. Prove your own self. And so we need to let the attitude of Paul, the aged, be our attitude. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, he said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. As many as be perfect. That's the idea of mature. Maturity. That's what the Hebrew writer is talking about in Hebrews chapter 5. Those who had not matured spiritually. Paul said, let us therefore as many as be perfect or mature be thus minded. Be minded how? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the kind of disposition of heart we need. Keep on keeping on. Somebody at some point in time I heard coined the word stick-to-itiveness. I don't think you'll find that in a dictionary anywhere. But it means just keep on keeping on. Stay with the job. Keep on doing what we know that we need to be doing in the Lord's work. It doesn't matter what the age is. Age is just a number, somebody said. Whatever I'm able, capable of doing, I need to be doing it in the Lord's service. And I need to be doing it just as long as I possibly can. Question arises, are we doing that? And I include myself in this. Are we doing that? I suspect that every one of us could say that, yes, I could be doing more. If I could be doing more, then I need to work on seeing how I can do more, where I can be of service to my Lord, because I'm a servant in His kingdom. If you're not a child of God, you can become one tonight. By believing Jesus to be the Christ, repenting your sin, confessing your faith in Him, you can be immersed in water for the remission of your sin. The Lord will add you to His church, to His family. If you are a part of His family and you realize that you have not continued to work, serve Him in the way, in the manner that which you ought to, you need to return to Him tonight. Repenting of your sin, asking Him to forgive you. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing for your encouragement.